chapter 8. Good to be in the house of God today. I'm glad they sang those songs. Boy, that was good. Amen. Yeah, we're getting voted in for tonight, too, by the way. I didn't do that. They'll learn to lay out a church that bunch for you, I'll tell you that. I'm glad y'all finally let Brandon sing, by the way. I sure appreciate that. That was good. So, Freddie and the Fowlers includes one more guy you never see on camera, so we got to see him today.
Yeah.
And as we look at Matthew chapter 8, we're going to look at the first four verses. The Bible said when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. As we look at this portion of Scripture, Dale, I want to preach to you on the leper and the Lord. The leper and the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come here today, God, and we come in your presence. And we ask God as help, for help from the only one that can give us help, and that's you. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, that you'd help me to preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, and that God, that you'd just get all the glory, honor, and praise from everything, that everybody may be helped and be encouraged from the word of God today. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, he's just spent Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 on telling what he has brought about is what he can do and what they should do. One thing in particular, it starts off, it says, Behold, in verse 2, and behold. Not only am I going to say it, I'm going to walk it as well. And the one thing he's going to cover in chapter 8 is a very strange thing with these Bible numbers that in chapter 8 of the New Testament, the first chapter 8, eight times he's going to say something and eight times it's going to happen just like he says it and commands it. He's going to show them that when storms come in their life, he's the Lord over the storm. He's going to show them when disease shows up, he's the Lord over that disease. He's going to say all these things and show all these things because what they need and what you and I have needed all our life is a new beginning. And number 8 in the Bible being the number for new beginnings in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah finds grace in the eyes of God. In chapter 8, they come off that ark to find a new beginning there. And they send out the dove and the raven and all that. And we get over here to Matthew chapter 8. And it says, when he's come down from these multitudes, followed him. And if you'll notice in verse 2, the leper's request. It said, Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. But when you have leprosy, it's a sign the judgment of God is on you. This poor leper, there's no cure ever mentioned in the Bible for leprosy. The only way to have leprosy cured is if God Almighty touches that sinner that's got leprosy and does away with their leprosy. Outside of that, there is no water that can wash it off. There's no medicine that can wash it off. There's nothing that can help that leprosy. It's going to be there till the day it eats that person alive. I noticed that leprosy, I went to study this week, and leprosy was not contagious. It was passed down from father to son, if not healed by God. But the leper often was passed over by others. You'll find a provision in the Bible where it says if somebody has that leprosy, they're to walk around with something covering their top lip and saying this, I'm a leper, I'm unclean. And they were to warn those people of that long before they got there, long before they got near them, because leprosy on somebody, after it set in, was very disgusting and very hard to smell and very hard to deal with. They had a pile of rags outside the city. The lepers would go out there to those dirty rags and get something to bind up their hands or whatever, because they couldn't go in the marketplace and buy anything. Because once they saw they had leprosy, people would flee from them and shut their doors to them and not sell them anything. They wouldn't employ somebody that had leprosy. They said, that's unclean, and God's showing judgment upon you. The leper was constantly passed over by others. They had to go in colonies together, because if you did not have leprosy, you would not go around somebody with leprosy.
Right.
It's kind of how people treat people today that have a disease that's not contagious, but you have to go find your own crowd to be around with. Leprosy being a type of sin, that's why you see sinners congregate together. That's why you see lost people go to places they go to, and why they share all the same burdens and all the same feelings. Because, listen, they realize something. They're the only ones have it. They think they've arrived, but they've not really arrived. They've already been here. I want to point out to you that leprosy would cover one in white scales. It often start with the eyes, and it would often be in the hands. There would be sore spots come up, but eventually, if untreated, it would start from the head and go down and cover that person's entire body. And then after the white scales began to cover them, it would begin to rot their flesh, and they would have fingers fall off, hands fall off. Their foot might even do that. Just their flesh would literally rot while they were still alive. And as we notice in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If a leper were to look in the Old Testament and see that thing, but our sins shall be white as snow, and he looked on his hands and saw all those white scales, he could literally misinterpret that and say, look, I'm covered, I'm okay. That's how people do with the Bible today.
Yeah.
They look at their leprosy and they see a verse like that. They misinterpret it. They misapply it.
Right.
And they come up with something that the Bible does not say.
Oh.
And they say they're covered by that. They're okay. They're not like all the rest of these people. They're not covered in white like I am.
Yeah.
We've got our own exclusive club over here, and only the people with white stuff on them can have it. Be very careful of that leprosy being a type of sin. It always showed up and showed them with scales over their eyes. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you look at. That thing might be starting to eat you up.
Right.
Be careful when it gets on your hands. Be careful what you handle. You never know what you're handling. It might be something that will get a hold of you and you're not a hold to be it.
Right.
It would go down on the top of their head and start working down their head and their face. Be careful where your thoughts lie.
Right.
Because that thing may lead you astray and put you in a place you never dreamed of being in.
Right.
But too often the sinner would read something into that and read the Bible the wrong way and try to think he was okay. But we see, number two, the Lord's reply. He says this in verse number 3. This is something uncommon, and Jesus put forth his hand. People didn't reach out to lepers.
Right.
It says that Jesus put forth his hand, and get this, and touched him. People didn't reach out to him. People did not touch them, but Jesus did. And it says, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I noticed that his word was involved in that leprosy being healed. It said, saying, I will. And when we see our Lord come upon these lepers, and upon this leper, that guy says, if you will, you can make me clean. He said, I will, and it happened right there. He didn't have to go through some kind of ritual, some kind of ceremony. He didn't have to go down to the Bon Secours Wellness Arena and get a lights and a camera and a TV audience going. He didn't have to sell him a book on how to stay healed from your leprosy. He said, I will be thou clean. I see in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says this, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. If he ever cleanses you of your leprosy, you're always going to be cleansed of it. If he ever heals you from that disease, you're always going to be healed from it. Because God Almighty has promised that thing, that whatever he does is going to be forever. And that leper comes to him, and we see that the Word of God was involved. And when somebody gets saved, it's always the Word of God being involved. Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A person gets saved by grace through faith. How do they get faith? The Word of God's involved, and they believe that book. You'll never find these Bible correcting preachers starting out that way. Why? because somebody had to educate them into that position of trying to correct the Bible. Because when they got saved, they didn't come in saying, "Well, I think you should read this." No, they come in and said, "I believe all of it," and they got saved.
Yep.
It took some slick reprobate in some Bible college that was taught by somebody he trusted that this book is not perfect, and therefore they come out of these places as cookie cutters correcting the Bible. But let me tell you something, our Lord did not correct the Bible. And listen, matter of fact, listen, he goes through everything and he'll tell that guy exactly what to do by the Word of God according to getting that leprosy and showing himself clean. Jesus believed the Word of God. When somebody says, "Well, those words are in italics sometimes," but if you go back and find them in the Old Testament where he quoted the words in italics. And in the New Testament, they're not in italics. Why is that? Because he believes in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Word of God, and the Word of God is always involved when the leper gets cleansed. I notice also his Word was involved and his will was involved. When you see Jesus Christ say, "I will," that is the will of God, and it's going to happen just like he says, and it don't matter how many people mount up against it, it don't matter what army stands in its way, it don't matter how many devils in hell don't like it, it don't matter if you like it and I like it. But if it's His will and He intends to do it, He's going to plow right on through.
That's right.
Some folks get to working on things, they get to a stopping point and they can't get no further. That's never the case with the will of God. Because in Jesus' reply, He said, "I will." Not only did He said it, His Word was involved, but His will was involved. He came walking that way that day because He knew that leper would be there. He was going to heal him in front of everybody and do something that leper and none of them had ever seen. He was going to see somebody come along and touch a leper and not get leprosy and going to make that leprosy go away at a spoken word. Like I said, in 5, 6, and 7, He's preaching to them. In chapter 8, He's living it in front of them. Always practice what you preach. I see that God's perfect plan, and you want to write this down, God's perfect plan involves imperfect people. I've never had leprosy, I don't think, unless dandruff leprosy, and I cut off all my hair to get rid of that, amen and amen. But I do know this, if you get that leprosy, except God cures that, it never gets cured. But I see that when we look at leprosy being a type of sin, I understand that we are all the lost people at one time were lepers. And when they got saved, He was the only one who could heal you of that problem, that sickness, that disease called sin. He was the one that brought belief to you that had unbelief. He was the one that brought faith where there was no faith. He was the one that brought salvation where there was an eternal damnation. He was the one that brought sanctification. Listen, when everybody else was telling you condemnation, He's the one that done all that. And our Lord's reply tells us that His perfect will always involves imperfect people. I don't know how this leper got right here, but I know this. It wasn't easy to be where he is at, and it wasn't quick to get there either. It didn't happen overnight that he just one day sprung up with leprosy and showed up the next day and Jesus healed him. When he cried out and said, "If thou wilt," you can almost see the tears running down his leprous face. You can hear the trouble in his voice, and you can hear the man saying, "If thou wilt, if thou wilt." He said, "I will." And when God's will comes to pass in somebody like this, and His perfect plan involving imperfect people, I can remember a time when I was covered up with sin and couldn't get out of it. The only help was God Almighty, but when He showed up, He said, "I will," and that's all it took.
Yep.
Listen to this, His way was involved. It says in that verse, He said, "I will," watch this, "be thou clean." That's His way. See, what happens is when God saves a sinner like this and they have that leprosy all over them, and leprosy being a type of sin, when He says, "Be thou clean," this man is no longer part of a leper colony. He's now part of a family.
Amen.
When God saves a sinner, listen, He takes them out of the depths of sin. They couldn't wash that sin off. They wasn't enough Ajax and Billy Graham around and Benny Hinn to get all that off of them. But somehow, in some way, God Almighty shows up, robed in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and says, "I will, be thou clean." He didn't intend for this man to go back to the leper colony. Amen and amen. He didn't intend for him to go to that pile of rags outside the city tonight and go down to Eckerd's and get whatever he needed. He didn't intend for him to go back and try to dig through the trash cans after everybody's asleep. He intended him to go down to McDonald's and get him something to eat. I mean, this thing was changed. Why? Because the Savior changed this man. He come along and said, "Be thou clean." And He touched him and made him so. When people say, "I'm going to straighten up my act," you'll never do it. You might get too old to run to the beer joint, but that heart's still wicked and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17:9. We know that God's Word tells us that man doesn't have common sense in him. Jeremiah 10:23, he just ain't got it in, verse 23 and 24. But we do know this. If he comes along and says, be thou clean, you can't take a bath and get that clean. When he comes along to that sinner and touches them and says, listen, you're no longer part of the leper colony now. Why is that? We're not going back down there where the lepers are. We're going over here where the other people are. Is it because we're better than them? No, it's not because we're better than them. It's because we got healed. We got healed of that thing that was troubling us. We got healed of that thing that kept us outside the city. Now we're inside the city. And I noticed that our Lord's reply was simple. His word, his will, and his way is involved with you just like it is with this leper right here. If you're ever going to be thou clean, it's going to be him doing the cleaning.
Right.
If you look down at verse number 4, we see the laws remand. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Watch this. Jesus Christ, a Jew under the law, says this. Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now the laws for man required this. It involved a priest. And they had to have a priest come in because Jesus told him specifically, tell no man, but go thy way and offer thy gift to the priest. And as we see this leper, he was to go back into the city where he was at, find the first synagogue there, find the priest inside there that was on duty at that moment, walk in there and tell him, I have to bring an altar to this altar a gift today because I am no longer a leper. I believe this man, this leper, was a well-known leper, and that's why he touched him and dealt with him personally because he wanted him to testify to that priest. He wanted to let him know that God Almighty had done a work in that town where they were at. He wanted him to know that A.D. 31 was a different year because now Jesus is on the scene and he's coming and he's, listen, the Son of God's bringing healing in his wings. I see that he comes in and he takes this leprosy, which is a type of sin, and it involves the priest. Our high priest is Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
The Bible said that he's not like these other high priests, but actually he's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin.
Yeah.
And because he's our high priest, when we get saved and he heals us of that leprosy, he's the one we testify of, he's the priest we show up to, and he's the one that we show that we have got that thing gone. And the gift they had to bring, it involves a present. If you go over to Leviticus chapter 14, you read up on leprosy. When a leper comes in, he's been healed, he's got to bring a sacrifice with him.
Right.
And if he don't bring that sacrifice into him and blood's not shed, that leprosy will be back on him before the day breaks.
Yes.
So he brings his gift back to the altar, and they take the animals, they shed the blood, they put the blood on the altar, and they pronounce that man clean. He'll never have leprosy again. And we know that as the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The payment's not made until the blood hits the altar. Thank God the high priest said one day, and listen, he let a word slip over in Genesis chapter 22 where he said this. Abraham looked at his son, he said, let's go up that altar and make a sacrifice. He said, well, where's the sacrifice at? And he looks over and God slipped this in. God will provide himself a lamb. And listen, he got up on that thing and sure enough, Isaac wasn't the sacrifice that day. God provided a ram coming up the other side.
Yep.
But then we find out, we go to Moses, we find out over there they had to have blood to shed over there when the atonement came in. They had to have blood there. They had to, the blood was always there. Until Jesus came and offered himself up as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And when he done that, he gave his life's blood to make the payment for our sin. That's what remission is. It's something that has to be remitted. It has to be paid for. And that leper had to have that payment. You and I couldn't just come to God and say, he touched me and made me whole. No, we had to have blood on that thing to have that happen. And that blood's the blood of the Lamb of God. We don't need birds anymore. We don't need bulls. We've got the blessed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that once it's applied, you don't have to go back every year and make atonement for it. It's already been made. It also involves the presentation. That leper had to walk right in there. Had to go right up to that priest. and say, I've been healed, and present himself as a testimony that God done a work in his life.
Yeah.
People always try to knock the church, the church that Jesus paid for in his blood. But yet this leper didn't have no problem walking right in there and doing it. You know why? Because when you get healed of that leprosy, you want everybody to know that you're clean. When you come up and you've been strangled by sin and bound by sin all your life, and everybody's looked down on you, and everybody's looked back at you and said, you'll never amount to nothing. Son, when he cleans you up, you're ready to tell everybody, because it's such a great thing he done, you never could get the job done, but now he's here and he's got the job done. I'm glad to know that it involves that presentation of our testimony. When we get saved, you know what we do? We come to the house of God.
Yeah.
Some of y'all swore you'd never tell nobody you got saved. Yet, but you couldn't keep it to yourself.
Right.
You got there and you went back to your little place where you was at with your little telephone there, and you said, you know what, I'm not going to tell nobody about this. And then all of a sudden you started doing this business here, and all of a sudden you said, guess what happened to me today?
Yeah.
Leprosy's cleansed.
Yeah.
I'll never be a leper no more. And they wrote back and said, sure, you'll get involved with that leper colony again. You'll have that all over you again. It'll be on your head again. It'll be in your eyes again. It'll be on your hands, and before long it'll cover you again. But yet here you sit with no leprosy.
Hello.
That sin that so bound you and kept you down that you could not quit or get away from, he come along and touched you, made you whole. You presented yourself and said, you know what? I've had the blood put on me. I'm clean. Now, I want to give you some advice. The devil will always remind you you used to be a leper. Every time a white speck shows up, if it's on a piece of paper or on somebody's collar, he'll always remind you that's what you are. But always remind him of this. I was that. I is this. Because when he come along, the presence changed, and the presence of clean, and the presence of saved, the presence of headed to heaven. And thank God, listen, when somebody gets cleaned up by Jesus, we don't have to speculate where they're at when they go out into eternity. We know where they're at because the blood was applied, and we physically saw them come into the house of God, present themselves for a testimony, and then something else happened. Romans chapter 6, you know what happened to them? They said, I want to do like that guy over in Acts chapter 8. I want to get me some baptizing to go with that thing. And he said, I tell you what. He said, who then should be baptized? He said, listen, he said, there's water. What doesn't hinder me to be baptized? I mean, out in the middle of nowhere, the only person to see it there was Philip. He said, I don't get baptized right now.
Amen.
So what was wrong with that man? He had a good old dose to get clean from that leprosy. And he wanted to have a public testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, just like God commands us for the church.
Yes.
Somebody says, I've got baptized. I've washed my sins away. You washed nothing away. Our salvation is done at the point we're saved. That baptism is a testimony to show what God did in your heart and life.
Yep.
A lot of folks say, well, you don't have to be baptized to be a Christian. No, you don't. But I tell you this, if you ever get cleansed of leprosy, you go find you a priest and say, I'm clean.
Amen.
Listen to this. Not only is Jesus Christ our great high priest, but can I also let you know this? You and I are believers in priests unto him.
Right.
You go find you a priest and tell him, I got in. Listen, I didn't understand all this stuff about leprosy when I first got saved, but I do know this. When I got saved, I went and found another Christian and told them.
Yeah.
And as I ran into people over the years, I'd run into people, and there used to be people that come to me and say, well, I'm praying for you. I know you lost. I said, no, I got baptized. I'm good. They said, no, we're praying for you. All that dope smoking, all that hell raising, all that drinking, that cocaine, you are not saved. And I'd try to argue with them, I was baptized. But I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I went back to them priests and I told them, I said, now I'm clean. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for taking time and praying that God would save a sinner. And listen, to anybody out there that you've been saved longer than I have, and you was just sitting there one day and said, Lord, please save a sinner. Thank you for getting this unnamed sinner in on your prayers. I'm glad, thank God, somebody was praying. I'm glad, thank God, the high priest heard it. And I'm glad he said, listen, I'm coming today with healing for that leprosy. What is our testimony today? Can we walk up to a priest and say, I've been clean, that God's made me whole? Or do we have to walk around saying, I don't know? He didn't listen. When this leper departed, you know what? He never went back and said, I don't know if I got healed or not. He walked back in that temple and said, I've been healed of this leprosy. Can you imagine the last guy that saw him before this? Who are you? Who are you? Well, I was the leper that was out there. You don't look like a leper. See, that's when you try to go back to that column. They say, why are you here?
Yeah.
You don't belong here no more.
No.
I heard this preacher testify one time. He got sideways with God, got mad, and said he walked out and decided he was going to go to the beer joint. He'd just show God. He said, I wasn't sitting there 5 minutes. The guy got walked up to him and said, you don't belong here. He said, I mean, I don't belong here. He said, get this leather jacket I got on. I belong here. He said, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. Why is that? The leper's been healed. He's been cleansed of that stuff. Now, all of a sudden, he's white as snow on the inside instead of white as snow on the outside.
Yeah.
Listen, friend. God's still in the leper's business. And he's still saving old lepers.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.